Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
I would like us to now enter into worship. And as I'm emphasizing God's armor, and he told us, he exhorts us to take on to you the whole armor of God. This is an exhortation this morning that you're to take on the whole armor of God. And I'd like us to sing 478, and that is, "Stand up, my soul, shake off thy fears, and gird the gospel armor on," 478. Before we have prayer together, let's sing, "O Jehovah, hear my words." It's number 47.
Thou shalt hear my voice.
you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, I'd like us to read verses 10 through 17. That is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, having to do with God's armor and the six pieces spiritually. These are not visible as such, that God has provided these armors for his children. Now, in recognition of God's word, would you stand with me and let us read these verses together, and treating punctuation marks as each punctuation mark as a period. Don't be in a real hurry, and see whether we can understand this armor that God provides. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then let's do as verse 18 says. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we're grateful this morning that we have access to the throne of grace and mercy because of Christ's work, and we come boldly. And our Father, as you have blessed us in so many ways, especially spiritually, you have provided for us for the forgiveness of our sins through our blessed Lord Jesus' work on the cross of Calvary. And our Father, you were satisfied that he took the wrath of the sins of those of your people. And our Father, we have eternal life through him. Help us to see that we need to acknowledge that we are sinners, and that we need to confess, and that we need to repent of our sins and put our faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ personally. We thank you also for the work of the Spirit of God and bringing us to such a place and illuminating us. And not only illuminating us, but upon salvation, we're sealed by the Spirit. We are guided, and we are instructed by your Spirit, and comfort us, and thank you, Spirit of God, for all these blessings. Thank you for the precious word we have this morning. And as it is your very breath, may we treat it as such. May we understand that it's your voice to us. And so in light of that, as there is the need to expound it, we pray that you look upon the word as it is preached, and you give anointing in the pulpit, and that you would anoint us in the chairs and open our hearts and eyes, ears to hear this great truth. May we sense the seriousness of it. May we sense that it's not a matter of novelty and just some word pictures, but how the great depths there are for us to understand and how good you really are to us. And our Father, as we think of your goodness, we have friends and folk that are in need physically, and Lord, we have prayed for them, and without listing each of their names, Lord, those who we've had contact with and have needs, even those in our midst, look upon them and help them. Lord, you bless us in so many ways spiritually, and also as far as our souls and intellect and emotions, but also these bodies which you have given to us. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Once again, our Father, look upon us this morning, we beg, And we ask that your presence be with us, and that we might rejoice in what you've done for us and what you're going to do with us, and that your will be accomplished. In the glorious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The question is, who is on the Lord's side? 493. Not everybody is on the Lord's side. 493. The whole armor of God, and that in that hymn, we read just that stanza, and take every virtue, every grace, and but take to arm you for the fight the whole panoply of God. It is the full armor of God. All right, now let's go to the fourth stanza, please.
Be no guard in place, no weakness of the soul.
Strength to strength, go on. Best soul in fire. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6
and verse 14, and the first part of that verse, having to do with putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 14, and the first part of the hymn, or the stanza, where it says, and it's an exhortation, for those of you who say you're a Christian, it says you're to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This whole matter is very serious. I guess Sunday school can ruin you sometimes. I'm not against Sunday school and studying the Word of God. But as a child, we probably had object lessons about this. And I think it has caused some misunderstanding. It's a serious spiritual truth. God says, I'm going to provide you some weaponry to help you in your spiritual walk. And you need to put it on. And if you don't, you're in danger as a Christian, because there's darkness out there, there's demons out there, and they want to get rid of you, and they want to destroy you, and they want to harm you, even as the Bible says here, that they make possible for you to have the evil day in verse 13. That can be sickness, or that can be circumstances, that can be financial, it can be a whole lot of things. The evil day is come upon us. When you lose your spouse, you'll know what I'm talking about. A loved one. And they're me. So now let's get this straight. This is a metaphor. This is a word picture. This is not something we put on physically. It is a spiritual armor that God has provided for us. And you don't see it. And I believe there are those who have it on this morning. And so I just want to tell you that we're not in a physical battle here as such, because it makes verse 12 very clear. We're not out here to fight people like soldiery does. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That means demonism. That means that Satan himself, but these principalities against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Educationally, religiously, politically, we're having all these things they don't want anything to do with God. So, I just want to tell you that is in the beginning here. And so I want to try to show you that this is a foundational matter. And I must say to you that I don't know how long it's going to take to get through these six pieces of weaponry that God has provided for us, but I'm going to wade through it, and I hope you'll pray. We need to put on these foundational pieces this morning, and it has to do with a belt. Now, I mentioned in singing that word panoply, that it means put on the whole full armor of God, not just one piece, put it all on. And so it was a picture here is the attire of a centurion Roman soldier. Now, please get out of your picture of something that had to do with medieval ages with metal all the way down through walking around like this. That's not the picture at all. It's a picture of a Roman soldier. And I must tell you that Paul is a veteran. You know, speaking of veterans, to me it's a delight to hear fellows who come back and tell their stories. I guess that's for all boys and men, but Paul, as a veteran, said, I want to tell you, I spent years in Roman prison or in house arrest, and I had soldiers that were I was cuffed to, and I would see them in all their weaponry and their uniform as they wore, and God said, I want you to take those different six pieces, and I want you to explain, I'll give you the words to explain what they mean spiritually. Spiritually. So I thought, well, that sounds real good. And the first one he mentions is a belt of truth. The belt of truth. Gird about with truth, verse 14. Stand, therefore. That's a position that you don't go running and fearful. The satanic powers are so strong that I have no way to confront them. I have no power over them. The Bible says, now you stand. I'll give you the armor so you'll be able to stand, no running away. That sounds good to me, Lord. Tell us more about it. And it talks about being ready. Foundational piece is the belt. And it has the idea of being ready. Now, belts, we have belts. You ladies wear them too, but we men have belts, and they're important. But don't get the idea it's like the belt that we wear today. You ladies wear them because as an accessory many times to match your clothes, which is nice. We men, we wear them so our pants don't fall down. They are important. And so, but this belt is a little different. This is a belt to hold everything in place. Because there's the breastplate. And that had, this belt was designed to hold up the breastplate, hold it up in place for readiness. If the belt was also used to hang on a sword. Very important piece of equipment. You know, they wore tunics. It was a square piece of cloth of some sort with a hole for the head and holes for the arms. And can you imagine fighting without a belt? They'd be flopping all over and getting in the way. But when the call for duty was, they'd take the corners and stick them in their belts so they'd be ready to fight. And so this belt is a very important thing to hold everything in place. By the way, you say tunics, and yes, ladies, you also wore such, or they did in those days, but they were much longer than what the men wore, and you could tell the difference between a male tunic and a woman's tunic. Just so you get their figure right here, and you could tell very definitely. It said the men are not to wear the women's tunic, and the women are not to wear the men's tunic. Wear the clothes that show that what sex you really are, is what the Bible talks about. And so we have the need for dressing properly in the spiritual battle. God provides for it. Wouldn't it have been something in our baptismal service if you saw the preacher walk out with his swimming trunks on? So that would have been a laugh. It would have been appropriate. Nor is it appropriate for the ladies to be baptized in bikinis. There's an appropriateness. And God is saying, you make sure you're dressed the right. Your attire is right. And pay attention to this. I have provided it for you. It's not going to be in your own strength. As you were taught in school, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. God says, I want you to know this as you're in the army, the Christian army. By the way, I'm speaking to troops this morning. I am. Now, I have done that in the past on Memorial Day, but you are the troops. You are the soldiers, and you're to listen up. And when God looks at you, he passes by and says, you don't have that on right. You're not doing something right. You're not spending enough of time with the Word of God is truth. You need to put on the truth. How much time did you read the Bible this week? Well, it's been busy. Hey, we're all busy. Well, I can't understand the Bible. Isn't it strange? Little children, they don't understand a lot of things too, but after a while, they understand things. Maybe you ought to spend a little more time reading the Word of God. You might be able to understand it. You might get to the place where it gets so exciting. You say, oh, man, this is terrific. And have you get to the place when you start reading the Word of God that you can't sit still and you got to get up and say, this is tremendous. Have you come to that place yet? Maybe you really haven't put on the belt of truth like God wants us to put on to study. Workmen. Not to be ashamed. So, I ask a brother if he'd bring his tool belt. And I've seen this belt for years. I've seen him up on a ladder and not even have to figure out where it is. He knows where to get it. That's a tool belt. Some of you ladies may not know much about them, but they're there for a certain place. And God wants us to have a tool belt, and we know what they mean and what they're used for. Thank you, Brother Bob. It looks good. And then this old thing, my wife's going to talk to me about this. This is like the belt that they had, not the belt like men wear today, but it had it was wide, stiff leather, kind of a structure that's not this, but wide belt where you could hold everything in place. I show you that. Take it seriously. This belt is to be used that you could, without even thinking about it, you know where to go. Yep, that's right, Sonny. When you shift that old big truck, you don't have to look for those gears. And you know how the speed of the RPMs is to shift them so they're quiet and fit just perfectly. We've got to know this armor that God provides for us so that we can just use it without even thinking much about it. I want to say to you, it is patterned. This verse 14 is patterned after a Roman soldier. And so I want you to know that this is a belt of truth. Truth. Verse 14. You girded it, having your loins girded about with truth. And then secondly, of the six pieces, the Lord willing, Wednesday night perhaps, we'll talk about the breastplate of righteousness. But we're talking about the belt this morning. That's what we want to talk about. You see, John chapter 5, chapter 8, verse 44, tells you better know this. If you're going to deal with dark, evil spirits, demons of the devil, one thing you're going to have to face up to is the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 44, if you haven't already faced up to this fact. What is the fact? The fact is, our Lord Jesus said, He said to the lost, the men who were trying to time up, so to speak, He said, you know, ye are of your father the devil. What about their father? And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the what? In the truth. Because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar, and he's a father of it. If you're lost, your father spiritually is the devil, and no wonder you have problems telling the truth. Because when he says you're to do this, you're to do this. He says, jump, you ask how high. Think nothing about it. And so there is this opposition. Here is the devil. Here's the Christian. And this opposition that is going on while we're in this life. And he's doing his best to wipe us out, because we one time were his slaves, and now we're in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been freed by our Lord Jesus from his grasp. And he says, I'll work on you. And so being a Christian, I want to tell you, you can expect some difficulties. I could lie to you this morning. I could say, if you become a Christian, everything is just grand. I will tell you the truth. There is a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I will tell you that he does give peace that passes all understanding. I will tell you that there is happiness, and you can withstand the opposition and know the Lord's with you. That's glorious. But I didn't say you wouldn't have problems, did I? Say, well, I don't want to hear about problems. No, I don't particularly like to talk about problems either, but there's this conflict, and it's real. It's real. And then when you get to understand this business, this collision with Satan and his cohorts, maybe we'll get smart about some things. This is real. It's not against people as such, because behind the person that did you harm is Satan. You say we don't hear much about verse 12. Well, who are we going to blame? with that to explain what principalities and demonism and the rulers of the darkness, the dark places in this world, very dark places. And so are you smart enough to know that most everything is deceptive? Take, for instance, the TV. I mean, the advertisements even. And the programs. For the most part, it's deception. Oh, no, I saw it on TV. Yeah, well, you better check it out. I saw it on the Internet. Oh, man, deception. When are you going to wake up, or when are we going to wake up that this world is here to deceive us and to throw us and cause us to fall? No, yes, dangerous. And then the media, whatever it might be, newspaper, magazines, or whatever, there's deception. You say it's all deception? No, I didn't say that. But I'm saying there's a lot of it there. And you've got to prepare for this. How am I going to be prepared for it? Well, you got to put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth? Yes, sir. That's what we need to do. You know, this is the truth. This is God's word. Well, some people say, I don't know that it is. What I read, I didn't seem to get much out of it. Go to college, liberal arts college, and they'll say it's mythology. Go to school, say, not allowed to have in school. Not allowed to use it in many places. But it is the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word. Now you say, can you prove that? Yes, I can prove that. It says it's His very breath in 1 Timothy 3:15. But it also is this, that His Spirit bears with my spirit that we are the children of God, I understand. But it just says, yes. You say, explain it. I don't know if I can explain it. How do you know your dad? How do you know your dad? Well, lived in the same house, yes. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you pick up this precious book, it just says, this is God, this is my Father in heaven speaking to me, and it's true, and I trust it. Can't trust anything else, because the Bible says all are liars. That's what David said. You think David said that too rapidly? It was by the Spirit of God, he says, that all are liars, and we're all sinners. But this is truth. Now, how am I supposed to take up the belt of truth? It's the Word of God. You know, I just want to say this. If you don't pay attention to this and you don't pay... See, I don't think that's... I think it doesn't mean much. I don't understand. I'm telling you, if you don't have this, may I use a colloquial, you're dead meat. That's how serious this is. You don't pay attention, you'll find out that you'll be worked over. And you may miss the whole thing if you know not Jesus Christ. Brethren, you got to see the need for talking about the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God will use it. Let me show you how deceitful things are. And yet may be done in sincerity. How did the founder of this country die? How did he die? How did George Washington die? Anybody know? Bled to death. Now hold on. He had the best doctors available. And so he got the disease. I forget what the disease was. Should know, but I don't know. But does he know? They had this idea of letting blood get rid of it in your system. Also, they use laxatives and all kinds of things to get rid of this in your system. And he didn't get any better. And they kept letting blood on. And it isn't laughable, but they took all the life out of him before the blood, life is in the blood. Now, don't tell me. Now, you say, well, that was erroneous. That was a big error. That was a big fault. Listen, I want to tell you this. I believe the doctors are sincere, so we're not going to pick on them, are we? But sincerely wrong. And killed George Washington. You see, you can have error and you can have truth. And you say, well, it doesn't make that much difference. Air can kill you. That's how serious this is. And this is still prevalent today. And so truth is vital in every area of our life. It's vital in our education. It's vital in our medicine. It's vital in every aspect. Truth is vital. And here's the book that will show us how to understand some of these things. And you know, brethren, sometimes people say, you know, I don't know what you... They may seem sometimes say, you know, you act like you have all the answers. Well, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I do not. My wife will verify that. My kids. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to saying this is what God says, you better listen. Bill Robbins can be an error. And especially if he's not availing himself to the belt of truth, which is the Word of God, and reading it and studying it. That's what we need to do, brethren. You say, well, that's no big deal. You see, this belt that they wore, it protected soft spots. You say, oh, come on now. Well, it did. This area is a soft spot, and also the reproductive area of a person. It protected them. It hang as an apron down from the belt. And God is interested. He wants us to have covenant children, if I may put it that way. He wants us to have children, and it's very important that there be reproduction. This generation doesn't believe that, though. Where are the druggards? D-U-G-G area. What do they have, 19 children? And they're Baptist. Woo-wee. God taking care of them? Yeah, he was a car salesman. Oh. Well, I thought he turned into a real estate agent. Yeah, I guess he did that too. Isn't it wonderful how God will provide? And so I'm saying to you this morning, he protects us. You say, all right, you understood this spiritually. Yes, I understand it spiritually. I understand you don't see it as you look at a Roman soldier and see all of his weaponry. I understand this belt is to hold things in place. There is a proper place. Hold things in place. That there be decently and things will be orderly. And that's not a dramatic thing only. Fact of the matter is, if we don't start prop on time, I'm 1 minute late or something. People say, you know, you're a little late here this morning. You didn't start quite on time. You go to a doctor and you spend 45 minutes or an hour. You don't complain about things. But there's a lot of things you don't see. You don't see this arm. You do a lot of things you don't see about a worship service. And I don't mind telling you, there's a lot of things that are done before there's a worship service. You say, I know you got a study, preacher. Yeah, but I'm also busy. And other things. Well, so what? We're all busy. But I want to tell you something else. There has to be the need of janitorial work and cleanness and so forth. There has to be a matter of the heat's right and cooling and so forth, and the presentation outside, the landscape and so forth. There's a lot of janitorial caretaker work to be done before we can have church service. A lot of work. The point of it is that some of these things take time. But you got to be sure you're putting the priority in the right places. Get on this belt of truth. That's foundational. That's the first important piece because it keeps everything else in contact. And that is the Word of God. Now there's overlap here. I remember, if you don't mind me saying this, I remember my dad was a young man. Real young. I think he was even close to teenage. And his cars came out. You know, the first cars, the Model T's and so on. And he just wanted to be he wanted the job. He wanted to be a mechanic to work on cars. And so did they have Penn Tech or Pennsylvania College or Williamsport Area Community College? No. Did they teach it in the high schools? No. How are you going to learn to be a mechanic? They had to do it by the old way of being an apprenticeship. What's an apprenticeship? We don't even know those things today. Well, you find a man who knows, who's maybe been to an engineer or something, and he studied these things, and he has a business, and he's very wise about taking care of how to tear down a vehicle or something. And my dad found a man in Milton, Pennsylvania. And so he approached him. He said, I'd like to learn to be a mechanic. And he said, well, sure. There's a price to be paid. We go and say, how much do you pay if I help you today? It wasn't with apprenticeship. You pay the mentor, the man who's in charge. My dad paid. Wasn't a whole lot, but he paid for room and board. How about an architect? Well, he's got to study that so the building is safe. We had an architect come here and check this out before we change it around. You got to know if it's safe. And if he doesn't learn how to draw up something that's safe, how about a surgeon? He's got to know all the anatomy of the body and very carefully know it. It takes time, is what I'm trying to say. As your dad said, the wheels of progress turn slowly. These things take time. How about it, teacher? Teachers, how many years have you been in school, Ken? It takes time. It's costly. I just want to bring that up in case you think, well, you know, it's all right, no problem. It takes time and work and be concerned and be grateful that the Word of God is taught. You know, how'd you like to go up in an airplane and have a man who's not taught how to fly the thing? Yeah, he can shift some gears. I was in a plane one time, the man says, let me see your camera. I was taking pictures. And he said, you take the controls. They take the controls. I got over here along the mountain. He said, hey, you're getting kind of close to the mountain. You better get away from the mountain. You got to know what you're doing. What do you have to know? You have to know that it's so important that you have a belt of truth on you. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. And this is something that's done individually and collectively. I like it. What do you mean? Well, you're treating it all as an individual here this morning, preacher. Yeah, but the book of the letter to the Ephesians, that was a church. Sure, individually and collectively. All to know the Lord, have our sins forgiven, have eternal life. That's wonderful. And to listen to this and say, Lord, I want to put this first part of this armor that you provide. It's God's armor. It's not yours. God says, you put on that first piece, and that is the belt of truth. Okay. But he's also saying that to the church, a family. I don't know. As I'm getting older, I see the value of having a church family to encourage one another. And even to exhort one another, and to help one another, and to pray for one another. You know, he said, I'll be with you where there's two or three gathered. Some people don't take much time about, well, I don't need to go to church. I have the Bible. Can't I read the Bible? I don't need anybody to tell me anything about it. Yeah, but you do. Bible, it's a local church that the Lord puts a lot of emphasis. This is written to a local church. Must be an important place. It is. And when you really find that you have brothers and sisters that concern for you, pray for you, help you, and work together that we might serve the Lord Jesus as ambassadors, as verse 20 has. We're ambassadors. Yeah, we are. We're ambassadors for Christ. But he was an ambassador in bonds. He was in prison. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. How about you? My citizenship is in heaven. That's where priority ought to be. I'm not saying you shouldn't appreciate the country which God has placed us, and I do. You know, I just read this week that how costly things are. How much do you suppose it would cost to send a soldier to Iraq? Some of you probably have a guess. I got it right. $500,000 for each soldier to send them to Iraq or Afghanistan. $500,000 for each one. It's costly. And you need to understand it's costly. It's going to cost you some time in your busy schedule. Say, I got to get alone. I got to find a place so I can get away and say, listen, kids, mom's busy and dad's going to be busy for a while. Don't be bothering us. You just got to talk up about some things. You need to spend some time and have the truth of God. The truth of God. Don't depend on a preacher for an hour on Sunday. Don't depend on it. That's not enough. Would you go a whole week with only eating maybe one meal? Say, no, silly. Well, then who's silly? If you think that 1 hour of so-called church service a week is going to take care of your diet, spiritual diet for a whole week, you aren't thinking right either, friends. You're just not thinking right. Oh, yeah. This 6 pieces of armor that God provides for us spiritually is so important. Because we are in a battle, it's a Christian warfare. And it says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, verse 12, but we're wrestling against principalities of powers, against powers and against the rulers of darkness. And this is the dark world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so there's all kinds of error out there. And if you get the idea that all churches are the same, and just as long as you go to a church, we had a guy here one time, he says, all churches believe the same thing. He said, I have their doctrinal statements. Well, that's that's ridiculous. Now, I will say this. I know some churches that aren't like us quite, but they love the Lord. It's nice to know that there are other churches that love the Lord. You know, it's nice to know that. And we need to consider that as we deal with one another. What a blessing it was to have Pastor John Reese with us the other Sunday night. What a blessing he is. Other preachers, churches that want to do the will of God and work at it and sacrifice that the truth may go forth in power, the power of the Spirit of God. Hey, listen. Take God's word as it is right here this morning and see whether you have really put on. And when you put it on, keep putting it on. I got the impression that maybe that if we're not careful, we can take off the belt. No. Yes. We're just nature that way. That there are times that maybe we'll slip the belt off. Don't do that. That's dangerous. That's what I've been trying to say. It's dangerous. When the enemy sees you're not bothering about the belt of truth, you're not really working at it, you're just playing at it, and just thinking that, well, it isn't all that important. I'll get through, won't I? Got this far, haven't I? I'm saying verse 12 is very real. You may not hear much about it, but it's very real. All those fallen angels are now demons. And they're out there doing the work of the devil. And people can be demon inhabited. Give no room to the devil. Resisting. How am I going to resist a man, a creature, and that's what he is, a creature that's been around so long and so experienced and so powerful? How in the world can a little flea like me resist him? The belt of truth. Resist him in the truth. That's what the Lord Jesus did in the temptation. Did he not? The Word of God says this. The Word of God says this. Brethren, I may be an old man. Some of you are not so old. Won't you take heed and spend some time with the Word of God in your busy schedule? Be fortified. Be strengthened. When the evil day comes, that you'll be able to stand. Having done everything to stand. But you need the blessed Lord Jesus. as your personal Savior? Have you recognized you're a sinner? Have you recognized that God's wrath upon you because you've broken the laws of God? Have you realized that if you don't know Jesus Christ, He's the only one? It is His blood, not the blood of anyone else, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Do you know Christ as your Savior, dear friend? Make your calling election sure. See whether you're real about the matter. That's my prayer. And my question is, have you experience what verse 14 of Ephesians 6 is talking about? Now there's a hymn. I've selected this hymn for a reason. It's such a beautiful hymn. It's hymn number 468. Our brother's going to play it to a different tune. Now, just before we go here, Bob, 468, you say, well, what's so important about it? What a glorious hymn it is. And it's called about the God of Truth. 468. Beautiful. And it was written by a lawyer. Well, don't hold it against a lawyer. But he was a lawyer. If I can find one. Now, and it's such a beautiful, it's a classic. 468. And you may not be real familiar with the original tune, nor am I, but I just thought it was so good to read those verses in 468, O God of truth, whose living word upholds whatever hath breath. And you know, the Lord Jesus, He keeps all things together, doesn't He? Look down on thy creation, Lord, enslaved by sin and death. And say, oh, yes, Lord. Set up thy standard. That's we would say our flag. Lord, that we who claim a heavenly birth may march with thee to smite the lies that vex thy groaning earth. Yes. Verse stanza 3. Ah, would we join that blessed array and follow in the might of him, the faithful then and the true, in raiment clean and white. And then, fourth stanza. Then, God of truth, amen, for whom we long, thou who wilt hear our prayer, do thine own battle in our hearts and slay the falsehood. A falsehood there, a falsehood in our own hearts. Let's sing 468. Once again, Lord, we've asked in the part of the service, and we prayed also Wednesday night, that you would have your way and so overlook personal errors and faults, but may the message reign supreme. May we not slough it off. May we see the need for having your armor, and especially the foundational piece, the belt of truth. Give us desire for the truth. And our Father, may we realize that we need you in these last days where we find that evil men shall wax worse and worse. And we're seeing the darkness, as you mentioned, the darkness of the days. Help us to be strong. And now, May we remind ourselves that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.